It's
something that'll change the world and human life as we know it.
He knows. He's seen the light.
When Monty talks, it's painful.
Monty, you have been so instrumental in kind of pointing me in the right direction.
It was about looking at your character defects and spirituality.
It's the integration of clinical practices with the 12 steps.
It's an absolute pleasure. He certainly knows a lot of people. He's got a lot of energy. And sometimes when you don't have so much energy, he picks you up and carries you.
And the Monty man there certainly helps.
This is one of the places that is about the business of the solution.
And now, broadcasting on location somewhere in the vast expanse of the Pacific Northwest, it's the over-opinionated 12-stepologist, the Monty Man.
Well, welcome aboard, one and all, and to another episode of the Take 12 Recovery Radio Show, broadcasting to you and for you from the studios of KHLT Recovery Broadcasting on the outskirts of beautiful downtown Albany, Oregon, in the Pacific Northwest. It's good to have you with us today. Our email address is take12radio@comcast.net. Our website, take12radio.com. Let me encourage you. We have a plethora, I love that word, it sounds so mature. We have a plethora of shows and workshops on our website. If you go to take12radio.com and you click on the Recovery Workshops link, you will just find a ton of shows there. Walking through the Big Book, walking through the 12 and 12, 12 steps to this and that, Emotional Sobriety with Dr. Alan Berger, Recovery Music. If you click on our Recovery Music banner, there's a ton of shows with some of the best recovery recording artists out there. Just a lot of stuff for you to enjoy and download for fun and for free. All we ask that you do is if you make copies and CDs, please don't use them for any financial gain. We make these available for you so you can make it available for other people as well. Today on the show, my guest on this very special broadcast, and I say this because he's a very special friend, is my friend Kyle Thompson. Pastor Kyle Thompson? The Right Reverend Pastor Kyle Thompson? Mr. Kyle Thompson? Whatever you want to call him, he is just a great guy, and we have known each other for a pretty long time now, and I'm going to be introducing him to you here in just a second, but you know we always like to have a little bit of fun on this show.
Excuse me, Monty Man.
Okay,
excuse me. But it's that very important part of the show where you talk about one of those silly things that is spoken of in meetings sometimes. So take it away, Monty Man, with the silly thing.
All right. Yes, silly things that we hear in meetings sometimes in those 12-step meetings. So this is the first time we've done this segment, and we're going to be doing more of these. But the silly thing on this show is that slogan that you might hear, take what you need and leave the rest. That is ridiculous. And I'll tell you why. When I first walked into the rooms of recovery, I didn't know what I needed. And if you gave me that option to just take what I need and leave the rest, then I start cherry picking all sorts of stuff. Well, I don't like what that guy's saying, and I don't like what that gal's saying, and that's going to require me to do some changing. I don't think I'll like that. So I'm going to go with what makes me feel good. I'm going to go with that instead. And then there's no growth, let alone any sobriety. So take what you need and leave the rest. I understand the heart behind it, but probably not the wisest thing to tell somebody, especially if they're a control freak. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying, Kyle? So there it is. There's a segment of the silly thing for this week. We're going to take a really quick break, get this out of the way. And when we come back, my guest on this show, Mr. Kyle Thompson. Don't go away. Check this out. Hey, everybody. It's the Monty Man. I am so grateful for our good friend, Dr. Alan Berger, author of 12 Stupid Things That Mess Up Recovery, for really showing me the path to emotional sobriety. you know, the ability to be comfortable in your own skin, regardless of other people's behavior or the things that are going on around you. Well, Dr. Berger has a brand new book that really digs even deeper into this topic of emotional sobriety. The book, 12 Essential Insights for Emotional Sobriety. Listen, we all need some really powerful tools in our arsenal against getting stuck in our recovery. And this is one you do not want to be without. 12 Essential Insights for Emotional Sobriety can be purchased at abphd.com. Also available on Amazon.
When I got back from Iraq, I just couldn't shake the guilt that I came home and 34 other men did not. There isn't a drink or a drug out there that could touch that kind of pain. Believe me, I tried. But when I heard a Teen Challenge story on the radio, I finally decided to get help. This program did for me what nothing else seemed to be able to do. It gave me hope. Now I can finally move on and live my life in a way that honors those who lost theirs.
To locate a Teen Challenge center near you or for more information, visit teenchallengeusa.com.
People need the Lord at the end of broken dreams. He's the open door. People need the Lord.
This is Steve Green, and you're listening to the best of recovery talk and positive music at take12radio.com.
When will we realize people need the Lord?
Well, welcome back to the show. You have tuned into the Take 12 Recovery Radio Show, the world's original recovery talk and positive music radio station. That particular Steve Green song means a lot to me, and the reason it does is there is a ministry, and you've all heard me if you've been listening at any length of time at all, that is very close to my heart, called Adult and Teen Challenge. I worked for that ministry back in the early 80s, side by side with the founder of the Pacific Northwest Network of Teen Challenge Centers, Mr. Mike Hodges. And I was the outreach coordinator, the first outreach coordinator, actually, for that ministry. And Mike and I would go on these itinerations. It would be his Bible and my guitar, my Bible and his guitar. And he would always sing that song. At the end of every message, he would sing People Need the Lord by Steve Green. And I've never forgotten it. I've never forgotten it. It is a very touching song. At some point in our broadcast, we'll play it in its entirety, not on this show, but people do need the Lord. And you know as well as I do, those of you who've been listening, that we are a Christ-focused, faith-based recovery radio program. And we don't always talk about Jesus. We don't always talk about the power of God. We talk about a lot of other issues, but we would be remiss to not do it on some kind of regular basis, because he is the God who is God. And we believe that this is actually his ministry. It's not the Monty Man's ministry. It's not KHLT's ministry. It's God's ministry. And I love bringing people on that have come out of darkness into the marvelous light. And one such person is my good friend, Kyle Thompson. If you're watching on YouTube, there he is. Hey, Kyle.
Hello.
Hey. Now, Kyle, you and I have known each other, I think, pretty much since Recovery in the Park. Isn't that where we met?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, yeah. So the story goes kind of like this. Like, Take 12 Radio had a booth at Recovery in the Park in Linn County, Oregon, and Adult and Teen Challenge had a booth. And this was several years after I had already worked for Teen Challenge as outreach coordinator, and it had been many, many years. And Kyle and the Teen Challenge booth was next to ours, and we introduced each other to each other. And is that a sentence? Introduced each other to each other? I think that makes sense. And come to find out that at that time, you were the outreach coordinator.
That's right, yeah.
I was the former outreach coordinator, and we shared our stories, right?
Yeah.
And then you kind of dropped a little hint of, have you ever thought about coming back to work at Teen Challenge? And then the rest is history, right? And then I eventually did come back, first as a counselor and then as education coordinator for the center. Now I'm retired, but you know how that goes. And now I've jumped back in again as a counselor and a teacher. And you have worked for the ministry, but before you worked for them, you actually were not really as healthy as you are today, right?
This is true.
Yeah. What was going on, Kyle?
Yeah. Well, I'm a graduate, 2005, 2006 graduate
yeah.
of the Spokane Men's Adult and Teen Challenge Center. And so before that, you know, a lot of my teenage years and early 20s were in alcoholism and meth and drugs and hopelessness and depression and anxiety and just not where I wanted to be. And so, yeah, so my brother went through Teen Challenge in 2003 and he was a meth addict. And so I remember going out and visiting him saying, well, I'm glad you're here and getting help while I was an alcoholic and whatever else. And so,
sure.
You know, and so I eventually did go through the doors. It was the day after Christmas, 2005. I came through the program.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so did you have any idea what to expect?
A little bit.
Yeah.
And I wasn't excited for it. yeah. I mean, I knew it was very structured.
Yeah.
I knew that there was a lot of rules and I didn't have that growing up. And so I was very nervous about that. But I was also extremely broken. And so, you know, I had lots of thoughts of suicide before this. So to me, I was like, this is the last chance. So if this may as well give this a shot. If this doesn't work, I can always go back to my miserable life. But let's give it a shot. And so, yeah, so I came in. I knew that, you know, there was men there that their lives were transformed. Actually, it was hard for me to believe that they were addicts when I came in.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah, because I'm like, they're so happy. They're singing to Jesus. Their hands are raised. They had so much joy on the heart. I'm like, these people were not really addicts.
Did you think they were nuts? Or
I thought they were nuts. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
And so I remember my first couple of days, I'm like, what did I just do? And
were you thinking, that'll never be me?
Oh, that's actually how God met me. My third day in the program, it
right.
was a chapel, and they had brought me down to the first row. And this preacher came in and he's preaching faith and repentance. And I remember at that time I began to have a conversation with God. And this was not verbally out loud, but I began to say, God, you can't save me. You saved all these other guys in this room, but you can't save me. I'm too far gone. And so I start arguing with this message that the guy was speaking mentally, just having this argument. And out of nowhere, my eyes just started flooding with tears. And
wow.
I broke down, and it wasn't necessarily that I was trying to receive the message. I just knew that the truth of what that man was speaking was
yeah.
was stronger than the lies I was telling myself. And I sat there for about 40 minutes and just wept and said, you know, God, if you're real, I give you 1 year. Like, I, as if I have control. Like, God, I give you 1 year.
Yeah,
so,
make a deal
yeah,
with
like,
Almighty.
But I said,
yeah.
God, I give you this year. Like, change my life.
If, yeah.
You know, and if you can't change my life, then I'm just going to go back to what I know.
Right.
And God definitely changed my life.
Wow. Wow. So I'm thinking when you mentioned this preacher, there was a guy, I don't know if you know D.B. Driver. Did you know him?
Mm-mm.
Well, there was a guy named D.B. Driver. He was a preacher up in Portland, and he would come down on a regular basis. And this guy had these huge hands. I mean, they were just gigantic, right? And so when he clapped, it was like thunder. And he was a hellfire and brimstone preacher, you know, saved by grace, washed in the blood. I mean, he just drove it home, right? Mm. And when that guy preached, I mean, you could not help but be moved. It would just come flooding through. And he had this old beat up guitar, you know, and he played the same song every time he came. You know, but it was just powerful stuff. So it sounded like, you know, the power of God was moving in your life, even though you were saying, that's not going to be me.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. So the hounds of heaven win.
Yeah.
Right. They're after you and they win. So would you consider that a spiritual awakening?
Yeah, I think, you know, it was confusing at first because I'm sitting there in tears and I was a very hard-hearted man. So I don't remember ever crying.
I can't imagine that.
Yeah, I was a very hard-hearted man and I don't remember prior to that when I would have cried. So, I mean, there was some emotion happening, but it was, you know, me saying, God, if you're real, this was the extent of it. Like, this was the little seed of faith I had was, God, I'm going to give you this year.
Yeah.
That's all I had. God, I'm going to give you this year. You know, if this is you speaking to me and Holy Spirit speaking to me, which I didn't know at the time that the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. And God, if this is you, I'm going to give you this year. And I'm glad too, you know, that God, that I did that because there was times in that year where I had to go remind myself that God, I told you I'd give you a year because I was ready to
right.
leave. And so, so that was, just a really powerful moment. Yeah, that's the day I say I was born again because I believe the man's message, you know, and my lies weren't strong enough. I believe, you know, if I had faith in Jesus and repented in my sins, faith that he is the Son of God, that he loves me, died on the cross for me, and, you know, and repent of these sins that he died for him, that he can also save me. And so it was a real struggle, but I let go.
So one of the biggest lies that you believed was he couldn't save you. He might be good for everybody else, but he's not going to work for you. Right?
I thought I was the enemy of God,
right.
And I was. But his love came through, and lots of lies. And, you know, it didn't all just happen overnight. The whole year, I like to look at it like an onion where you're peeling back layers.
Yeah.
And so that's how it was for me that year was God would keep revealing himself, and I'd keep learning more and breaking off these lies. I had lots of lies. So breaking off tons of lies and letting go. And God met me in a huge way.
Had you had any experience with faith of any kind prior to that?
Yeah. Yeah. So my mom's a Christian. She raised four boys on her own. Me and my older brother were very reckless. So I remember going to church as really young.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd say about middle school is when I started running off in the wrong direction and did my own thing. And so, I remember going to church, but I was young. I didn't, it wasn't the same kind of experience.
Yeah. Okay. So you had some exposure to it. What were some of the other lies? Were there other lies that you were believing other than that you were not savable?
Yeah. You know, I was very hopeless. So, you know, I was in a spot where, you know, I'm in the program at 22. I, didn't finish high school.
Uh-huh.
I was kicked out of multiple high schools and they told me, don't come back. I, you know, didn't have a driver's license. I had a job, but it was just doing the bare minimum. I was in a place where I felt like there was no hope in my life. So, and letting go of that lie to actually say, God, you have something for me. Like, and I guess when I gave my heart to the Lord, I just wanted out of the circumstances I was in. I was tormented by life. I felt like it was horrible. It was miserable. I didn't want to live. I didn't have purpose. And so me letting go that day, I still had to learn to let God speak life into me and say, hey, there's still hope for you, you know, outside of just clean and sober, outside of just a year of this program. And so God had to continue to speak to me because I was very broken and lost and didn't believe that there was purpose. I looked at people, you know, that were at that time married and they were, had a career and they did all the stuff. And I was way outside of that. I was, you know, forgotten and lost. And God, I was miserable. And so for me, just that lie of this is the way it is. And to believe that God had something more for me in life, that was a hard one to get over. And there was scripture that continued to jump out at me while I was in the program. scripture about God's love, like in Romans chapter 8. And I began to claim those scriptures, and that began to change the lies. So God's word, when it came into me, I began to choose whether I'm going to believe God's word or I'm going to believe this lie about me. So that was the one I remember.
Wow.
I remember Romans 8, you know, that nothing can separate us from God's love, neither height nor depth, nor angels nor demons or nothing. All creation can separate us from the love of Christ. And I remember I had to wrestle with that and say, God, what you're saying is no matter what I do, you love me. And I had to make the choice, like, wow, God, like, at this point, I have to respond to your love. It's not about, do you love me? It's about, how do I respond to this love that you have for me? And that changed me, because all of a sudden it's like, oh, I'm not an enemy. I just have to know what to do with this love, God, that you love me. And there's other scriptures where that really helped me. But those were, I called them victory scriptures, because when I was wrestling through things, I'd go back to these scriptures that really spoke to me and allow God to speak to the lies that I had. And it's still for today. I mean, to me, I got to go back to the scripture and remind myself of the truth of God's word over the lies that try to come and speak to me.
So this is a constant rebooting the way you think, changing the way you think, changing your thinking patterns, right? We know
Absolutely.
The word talks about the washing of the word, right?
Mm-hmm.
We know that in recovery, it doesn't matter whether it's secular recovery, whether it's 12-step, whether it's faith-based, whatever, one of the things that we can absolutely agree on is we need to change our old ideas.
Yeah.
Right? We can all agree on that. And your old idea was that you weren't lovable. You weren't savable.
Exactly.
You know, and so when you finally were able to sink your teeth into that, things started changing, right?
Yeah.
Things started changing. Did the way you perceive others begin to change as well?
Yeah, well, that's funny you asked that. so, interesting enough, there was a chaplain teen challenge, and it was, I can't remember how long I was in the program, probably about 6 months, and they had this chapel where, they had brought up all these garbage cans to the front, and they said, we just want a clean house, so whatever sin you've got,
that one.
Whatever sin you got, just bring it to the front. It was. And they were, you know, whether it could be pornography, it's cigarettes, whatever you got.
Whatever you're hiding
in
your
bunk. We want a clean house. And the staff probably knew that there was things going on. But
sure.
So all these guys are flooding up there and they're repenting. And I remember God spoke to me and said, Kyle, you need to go up there and ask for prayer for forgiveness for yourself.
Oh, wow.
And God really spoke to me. He goes, you know, others have forgiven you. God's forgiven me, but I have not forgiven myself for all these things. And so I remember I went up there and asked one of the staff members, said, hey, will you pray with me? I need to forgive myself because I've done horrible things and it still haunts me. And I just was still angry at myself. And I was angry at others because I didn't love myself. So there's no way I can love others. So, yeah,
that's right.
Prior to this, I didn't love others. Right. There would be people in the program I'd be mad at, and I'd be like, man, I hope you get kicked out today. You know, like, and so I go and I get prayer, and it was just a prayer. I went up, I received prayer. I remember waking up the next day and I was a different person. And the only thing I can say is that I had joy on my heart, and I looked at every other person in that program differently than I did ever before. And I knew it was because I forgave myself. And
wow.
So I looked over, and that was where I feel like God began to launch me into ministry without even knowing it, because I looked at my brother, especially the ones that I didn't necessarily get along with, and I'm looking at them through the perspective of, God, you love that person so much, they're here. You love that person so much, you got a plan for their life. You know, so all those lies, they began to reverse. I began to see it in others, like, you know what, God has a plan for you. So I naturally just started walking along, guys, next to them and encouraging them they can do it. And without having a ministry title, that's where God, I feel like, launched me into ministry, loving these people that came in. And some of them, you know, they're so rough around the edges. They come in and they're foul and they still have all their old habits. And a lot of times, you know, you got to give them some time before you need to have a real conversation. But I just jumped right in and said, look, I know your life was a mess, but man, you can do this. And so I naturally started ministering and just loving the group that I was in, even the ones that were difficult. There were some... I called them sandpaper people, where you just you get too close to them and they just it doesn't feel good. You know it's right.
And,
but I just began to love them, and so that's funny you ask. There was a moment that changed for me.
You know, one of my favorite media guys, he has a slogan. No matter how flat you make a pancake, it has two sides, right? and so you got flipped. God flipped your and now you got a new side. And it sounds like that was evident to everybody around you. How did they respond to that? How did the other students respond? Because you're 1 minute you're one way, you've got resentments against yourself. Now you've thrown those in that trash can.
Yeah.
Right. And now you're a different guy. Right. Did people think you'd lost your mind or?
No. And that's the beautiful, beautiful part of Teen Challenge is so many guys are changing.
Yeah.
So you see the growth. You know what I mean? So others, they probably looked at it and they're saying, okay, there's growth happening because Kyle's not acting like he was before. And I would see that in other guys too. And so I think for the most part, you know, it's a environment where you're growing in the Lord. So it's not unusual to see change in students and myself. And so, you know, I had a lot more joy in my heart. I had, you know, just a greater love for others. And that began to come out. And I don't know that I remember how others saw that, except for, you know, every single one of these guys, including myself, that went through Teen Challenge is a miracle. And when God does a huge move in their heart, change happens. And it's not unusual.
No, it's not unusual. It's not unusual. Okay. So one of the things, one of the frustrations I have within the recovery community, and it's because I watch this happen and I want so much more for people, is many times we'll come into the rooms of recovery, whether it's a faith-based program, whether it's a secular program, it doesn't seem to matter. And we'll sit down and we want the consequences in our life to change. Mm-hmm. We want the pain to stop. Yeah. We want the little woman off our back, or we want mom to be proud again, right? Mm-hmm. And so we may come in for all the wrong reasons, not realizing that the real reason we're there is to learn to become a maximum service to God and the people he's going to be putting in your life. Mm. That's really why you're there, right? But and the abstinence thing, that's the hook, right, that gets you in there, right? But what I see so often is we get to, let's say, in the 12-step movement, for instance, and people all know I'm a 12-step guy. We get to step three, made a decision to turn our will and our life over to the care of God. We make that decision, but that's where it ends. Mm. You know, and we say we're turning our will, which is our personality, and our life, which is everything else about us and around us, over to the care of the divine, of the creator, the one that loves you and will do for you what you cannot do for yourself, right? But then we immediately take it back and want to control again. And then we really don't grow. We stay sober, but we don't grow. Mm. And then many times we find ourselves right back to what we knew so well, right? Because we made a spiritual decision, but we didn't make a spiritual commitment, if that makes sense.
Right.
You know, so what is the difference? I want people to understand that I'm not against treatment. There are many 30, 60, 90-day residential programs that do a very good job of working with the symptom of getting you clean and sober, teaching you how to be abstinent. But I wonder if we need to go deeper. In the Adult and Teen Challenge program, as well as some other faith-based programs, the whole idea is to go deeper, right? How do they do that? How do they go deeper in what we might call as discipleship?
Yeah. Yeah, I think, one, I think you're right. You know, drugs and alcohol, you know, it's a symptom of something so much deeper.
Yeah.
And often we put a Band-Aid on a symptom, or we treat the symptom. And if we neglect to deal with the real issue, another symptom's just going to pop up.
Right.
In somewhere else, in some other way. And so, you know, the real issue, I believe, is the heart issue. Mm. And so, you know, Jesus Christ is what makes a difference. He's who made the difference for me, is letting him come in and giving my life to Jesus, knowing that we are new creatures in Christ. He makes new creation. The old is gone. So I'm no longer what I once was. God made me new. And now I got to learn to walk in this newness of life. Because
right.
Because
that's foreign to you until this
point.
Oh,
yeah. That's way foreign. So yeah. What does that yeah. mean? And, you know, with right. Teen Challenge, it's a year-long program where...
Why?
Because when you've spent 10 years in your addiction...
Yeah.
It's really hard to build new habits in 30 days.
Or 90.
Or 90 days.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at just the biblical part, like the disciples followed Jesus for 3 years and before they went off and did it, and they failed. And so, you know, we look at it like, you know, 1 year isn't even long enough, to be honest. 1 year isn't, I guess 1 year is the end of your stay in Teen Challenge, but ultimately you got to keep following Jesus and you got to keep on practicing this new life. And what Teen Challenge offers is a healthy, safe environment to begin practicing this new life that God's given. And so, and there is structure. We need structure. You know, I was wild in my addiction. I had no structure. We need to be held accountable of our stuff. And it has to be uncomfortable, because who changes in comfort?
Yeah,
in
nobody.
One sense, who changes when it's super comfortable?
Yeah.
I mean, you could pay...
Not me.
You know, you could pay 30 grand in probably a month and... go sit next to a swimming pool and have someone
hot
come up
therapy,
to you and
yeah.
encourage you with
ride horses.
Yeah. Ride horses. And
that's all fine and good.
Yeah.
And all, but is that really getting to the heart of the matter?
Right.
Or is that just soothing, you know, a wound
yeah.
instead of really healing the wound?
And that's exactly. And I think, you know, that can work, you know, going to different centers like that can work. I think why Teen Challenge is so powerful, though, is because you come in and you've got structure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's all biblical structure. You have men and women that are leading centers and are staff that have went through the program, so they know where you're at. But it's not easy. It's really not easy at all. You come in and it's difficult.
It's spiritual boot camp, baby.
It's spiritual boot camp, and we really... have to have that. We have to be able to, yes, we have this new life with Christ. Now you can come and get saved and walk out the door, but has anyone ever taught you how to follow Jesus?
Right.
Has anyone ever taught you how to pick up God's word and read it? Has anyone ever walked with you and held you accountable in love? So when I'm talking about structure, I'm talking about in love. We're not talking about just, you know,
cracking
here's
the
hammer
yeah.
and oh, you messed up, because that in itself would probably lead to relapse.
Yeah, and that doesn't work.
Yeah, and so, but in love, okay, you're coming along, you're saying, hey, this is not the correct way to do this, and you're walking beside these guys, but it takes at least a year, if not more, I think, for people to really be able to stand on their own two feet and if when they've come out of extreme addiction lifestyles.
Yeah, sure, you bet. We're talking to Kyle Thompson. The website, by the way, that you can check out, the Adult and Teen Challenge Ministry, you'll see it on the screen here. And for those of you who are just listening to audio, it is teenchallengeusa.com. You can click on the center locator button to find a center in your area, teenchallengeusa.com. Kyle, you had mentioned that you didn't finish high school, you know, right. and that your life was going downhill quickly, you know, and then you came into the Adult Teen Challenge program. What a transition, though. I mean, you just got your master's, didn't you?
Yeah.
Okay, which requires you got to go to college, right? You got to get your four-year degree. What'd right. you get your four-year degree in?
Christian leadership.
And then you got your master's in what?
Ministry leadership.
And you went where?
Northwest University.
That's no easy task. From a guy that couldn't finish high school.
True.
right? So that's the hand of providence.
Yeah.
It has to be, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay, so you have this newfound life, and then, and that's some stuff you did after you had become outreach coordinator at Adult and Teen Challenge, right? You went back to school?
Yeah.
And so you went from being a student to move. Did you do an internship?
I did, yeah.
Did an internship. Was that another year?
Yeah, mine was like a year and a half.
About another year and a half, so two and a half years. And then you became outreach coordinator. Was your first staff position?
No, it was education coordinator.
Education coordinator. Mm-hmm. That's one thing that's very, very popular in Adult and Teen Challenge. A lot of people end up wearing different hats, right?
Yeah.
Which is a good thing.
Right.
And then you were outreach coordinator, and then you continued your education.
Yeah, no, I went from that to actually being an assistant thrift store manager for 4 years while I was my undergrad.
Oh, is that what you, okay. Then you weren't you a center director at the Portland Center for a while, or program director?
Program coordinator.
Program coordinator. Yeah. So there's another hat.
Yeah.
Right. And then you moved on to being an associate pastor at an Assembly of God church in Jefferson, Oregon. Right?
Yeah. Well, I transitioned actually working for Northwest University Oregon campus.
That's right. That's right. I missed that part.
Yeah, admissions and marketing coordinator. And so doing all the admissions there for about 3 years. And then I transitioned to, Abundant Life Center in Jefferson as an administrative pastor.
For
the last 2 years, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. And now, what's going on now?
Well, now God's calling me back to work in Teen Challenge, and I'm super excited. So I'll be transitioning October 1st to the center director position out here at the Willamette Valley campus. So I'm very excited.
Yeah, we are excited for you, man.
I didn't see it coming, but, you know, I'm willing, and God's just moving. I have such a heart for this ministry and for these guys, and I got a heart for church. I got a heart for higher ed. All those things have been a big part of my story. But these guys just getting in there and fighting in the trenches because it's life or death for every one of those. And I was there. I was there 17 years ago. That's when I went through the doors of Teen Challenge. So I am so excited to get back in the fight and watch these guys just change their lives.
I think there is something really of quality to be said about somebody who comes out of the background that you and I have come out of. We get into the spiritual boot camp of something like Adult and Teen Challenge, and then we go back out in the real world and we experience the real world through a new set of glasses, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing things through a different lens. And then we experience life on life's terms out in the real world. And then we come back and we are touching people's lives, you know, mm-hmm. with a whole nother perspective.
Yeah.
Speak to that a little bit.
Yeah. You know, one of the things about Teen Challenge that I wholeheartedly believe is that every single man and woman or teen that comes through the doors are favored by God. And so one of the things, you know, just leaving and looking back in is realizing how much potential there is for these guys in the program. They come like me. You know what I mean? Not a GED, nothing. Just I want out of my circumstances. God, I give you a year, like, as if we're in control. But, you know, but they don't see, like, what God has for them.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I would never have imagined in my life that God would have taken me on the journey that I am today. Like, I just wouldn't have ever imagined it. And so, for me, just looking out and looking, I see the greatest potential. I think that those men and women are the cream of the crop. They're highly favored by God. Why else would they be in a program for 1 year to get to know Jesus, to let him transform their heart, their mind, their life? Why else would you be there to have that much favor unless God has a completely new direction for you and an amazing life for you? God knows how to fulfill our life better than we ever could fulfill our own. So I look at those guys and they probably think they're limited. They don't have a lot of potential. They don't see themselves as doing much in life like me. And I look at them and say, man, these are the next directors. These are the next pastors. These are the next guys going into ministry school. These guys are missionaries. I look at them and say, if God's going to show this much favor on your life, it's because he has such a great plan for your life. And if they let him, if they just allow God to do his work in their heart, they will never be the same. And it's a growth process. I mean,
It'll stretch you.
You know, some of the things I look in my life, you know, I was a suffering addict. I suffered in my life. I suffered in alcoholism. I suffered in depression. I suffered in
loneliness. It wasn't all about the party?
No. I suffered in it. And to be honest, I think, you know, we want out of that suffering in our addiction. But true growth also requires a type of suffering.
It does.
And so, and so I think having that mindset of looking at coming in and saying, man, you can continue to grow, but don't be afraid now to see it on the other side where you're not suffering because of your addiction. You're suffering because you're going to push yourself beyond your limits. You're going to grow into the man that God's called you to be. Mm-hmm. You're going to allow God to put stuff in your heart that you may have abandoned, visions you may have abandoned, like going back to school, like, you know, being able to have a family, have a wife, have children. I mean, those are things I abandoned. And, you know, today God's blessed me with a beautiful wife and a beautiful child. I never would have saw that coming.
And another one on the way.
Wow. So excited. But some of those things, I just knowing what God's done in my life and yeah. knowing that he can do that in these guys' life even more. He can do greater things. I look at them and think they're the best. Honestly, yeah. God's hand is on them. They don't see it. But that's some of my experience of in and outside of the ministry and then looking back in and seeing how much favor is on these men is unbelievable.
So I want to speak to those for a minute who may not be, you know, on the faith journey. We have a lot of listeners to this show that don't believe in a spirituality, don't believe in God, many that don't believe that Jesus is God, and they still listen to the show, and I'm really glad they do, and we're really, really excited for the fact that they tune in every week. Mm-hmm. But I want to speak to them just for a minute. There is a thought when people listen to programs, when we do ones like this that are very God-specific, mm-hmm. Oh, you know, it's kind of like, well, that's fine for you. You know, that's religion. Mm-hmm. You know, what I want to do is develop spirituality. I don't want religion. And I think that is very common in amongst the circles of recovery in the recovery community so often. And yet, if you look at the step process, you know, within the secular community particularly, why is step three turning your will and your life over to the care of God? Why is that so early on? Well, the reason is mm-hmm. you can't do 4 through 12 without the power of God in your life. Mm-hmm. You just can't. You can't do an honest inventory. You can't make amends properly. You can't practice these principles in all your affairs without mm-hmm. the power of God in your life, right? And so I encourage you, those who are listening, to understand that yeah, you're right. We don't want you to develop a religious practice in the sense of just mm-hmm. something by rote. We want you to develop a relationship mm-hmm. with you know the God who is God, right? Can you speak to that a little bit, Kyle, about the importance of relationship versus religion?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think the term religion
gets a bad rap.
It does. Probably has for, you know, 20, 30, 40 years, something like that.
Sure.
It's probably used to be a positive thing in the 90s. If you're religious, then you have a lot of integrity. Now it's, you know, you're right. Religious, you're big, I don't know.
Pharisee.
So, yeah, but I would just say, you know, the difference from like religion, how a lot of people would see it today is maybe just a religious structure of life, that is following certain rules and standards to try to have a relationship with God. You know, it's by doing these certain things. And I'd say relationship is really the opposite. It all starts with relationship with God. It's, you know, and from relationship, those natural structures in life happen. So that's kind of like a changed life. So when you have a relationship with Jesus and you have a new identity in Christ, then and you have faith and believe and you're combating the lies of this world with scripture, then you begin to live a different life because you're believing in a different life. You're believing in a different identity. When your identity shifts, you begin to to act and live out in your new identity. And that's that new life in Christ, where the term religion. Now, if you don't have a relationship with God and you're just trying to do right things and go to church on Sundays and do all this stuff, that sounds boring and miserable and
white knuckling it.
Yeah. And if there's no real relationship with God, that doesn't work. So if that's the definition of religion, is trying to obtain something by what you're doing, and these religious patterns in life, I don't think that, yeah, that doesn't work. But an authentic, real relationship with God. Here's what I'd say about that. If God's real, and if what I'm saying is true, why would you not give it a chance?
Good question.
Why would you not give it a chance to see if what, because my life was completely transformed. I was an enemy of God. I cannot fake what happened to me on
right
December 27th, 2005, when God met me and changed my life. I was fighting that. And so, sometimes it's to not be a spectator and look back and be critical and say, oh, these people are just religious fanatics, or, you know what I mean, extreme. That worked for him. What if it's the real deal? What if God is real? What if Jesus is real and he loves you and he died for you? He wants to give you a new life and he wants to provide something for you that you can't provide for yourself. Then why not give it a shot? All you could do is give it a shot. That's what I did. God, if you're real, I give you 1 year, as if we're in control. I give you 1 year.
I love that.
Change my life in 1 year, and I won't go back. Well, why not? Say, God, if you are real.
Sure.
Anyways, now I'm preaching. But.
No, I love it. I love it. You know, I there's a part in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous that whatever you think about that program or that literature, you cannot deny that it says this. And I'm speaking to many of my brothers in those programs. It says the main purpose of this book is to help you develop a relationship with a power greater than yourself to help you solve your problem. It's not to stop drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, that's a symptom,
right?
If you've got a problem with alcohol, you need to stop drinking to get your head clear, right? But the main purpose of that literature is to help you develop a relationship with somebody other than your own intellect.
Yeah.
It's got to be a power greater than you. And it can't be another person, because if they're powerless over alcohol and you're powerless over alcohol, 0 + 0 = 0.
Yeah.
It isn't electricity, sorry. It's not the ocean, sorry.
Yeah.
That may be a power greater than yourself. But the point of recovery is, if you start believing in that piece, is to move on from there, to grow in that, right?
Amen.
And what I love about programs like Adult and Teen Challenge is they take the solution, which is that relationship with this power, right? The God who is God.
Yeah.
Right? And helps you take a year to help you develop this incredible relationship with this power to help you solve all your issues. It doesn't mean you become perfect. I always joke around. My good friend Chris S. always says, you know, the 12 steps won't make you perfect. They'll make you useful. Right? Right? Well, hey, reading scripture,
absolutely.
Going to a program like this,
yeah.
Jumping into helping others won't make you perfect, but it'll make you useful.
Yeah, and can I say something about scripture?
Yeah,
and this may take some people off guard. So if you think of what God's word is, I believe it's the most authoritative recovery book there is.
Amen, amen.
And I believe everybody's in recovery, and the Bible talks about sin.
Yes.
We're all in recovery of sin in relationship with God. And so you think about even the Bible itself and the truth of it, it basically says everybody's in recovery because everybody has sinned. Everybody's fallen short of the glory of God. And so everyone's in this recovery, and it's so powerful to pick that up and start reading it and looking at it and say, God, am I in recovery? And what does this say about it? And because Jesus had a lot of recovery verses.
Yes, he did.
He said, if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. What does that mean? Yeah. Whatever extreme you have to do to prevent yourself from being tempted, then do it.
Do
that
it.
Sounds like an amazing advice.
Do it. That's the heart of a sponsor.
Yeah.
Right. That's coming along with their sponsee and say, you know what? I don't care what whatever you're doing's not working. You're not getting radical enough. If you need to cut off every contact with every person you used to know in order to get clean and sober, then you better do it,
buddy.
That's
right.
You know, gouge that relationship out of your life.
Yep.
Right. Yeah, but I love them. No, that ain't going to work. Some of the things that you have gone through, both what could be perceived as negative or harmful, moving into an arena where you are developing a relationship with God to help smooth out the rough edges, right, doesn't mean that you don't have disappointments and temptations and thoughts that probably aren't always the greatest, right? What are some of the stuff that you still deal with?
Oh, yeah. I mean, 17 years into my walk with God, and I still, you know, there's times I still fight depression and still fight it, and I have to renew my mind. There's times I still fight wrong thinking. You know what I mean? There's times I still fight anger. There's times, you know, I realize that I'm not handling situations right, or I'm abusing food. I mean, if I'm just honest about it, I'm a type 2 diabetic, and I know that there's certain foods I shouldn't eat. And there's times where I'm like, well, that just sounds good today. And I know better. And
triple stuff.
But
Oreo.
Those are real struggles. You know, I mean, my health, that's a real struggle. You know, some of the depression things, you know, I have to daily remind myself of the truth of God's word to combat some of these other things. And it really does work. We stop, and that's why it's so important to have spiritual disciplines in our life.
Yeah.
Because we need to spend time, and this is where I talk about the relationship, in God's presence through prayer, through worship, through God's word, and we become familiar with this relationship with God, just like any other relationship, becoming familiar with God's presence and leaning on that relationship through troubled times really does help. But it's absolutely not easy. I still have doubt. I still have, you know, you can ask my wife, if she was on here, she'd have a whole list, but I really do have a lot of struggles, but I know that also God is setting me apart. So as I continue to follow and chase him and become more discipled, which is a follower of Christ, so I'm, you know, becoming more like him. He's changing. He's continually changing my life. I don't ever think there's a time where I'm going to arrive. When I arrive, that'll be my last day, and it'll be lights out, and then I'm going to arrive to heaven. But until then, we're in growth, and we are still in a fallen world, and there's still sin, and we still need God's word.
Amen to that. So Adult and Teen Challenge, one of the taglines here in the Pacific Northwest is putting hope within reach, right? So that isn't limited to the person that has a substance use disorder,
right?
That may be a behavioral addiction,
absolutely,
like pornography,
right?
Or overspending, right? Or gossip.
Right.
You know, I knew a lady that she gossiped so severely, she lost everybody in her life, right? And until she got help with that, she was a very lonely person, you know. So what about people that maybe they're, for lack of a better term, clean and or sober, but they want to develop a deeper relationship with God? Could they come into an Adult and Teen Challenge program and do a year discipleship?
Yeah. So if it's somebody they just want to build a relationship with God.
Yeah.
And it's not because of substance abuse. Or,
well, maybe they did, but maybe they're clean now.
Yeah.
Or maybe they got somewhat of a handle on that.
Yeah.
But they want to go deeper.
Because at the heart of Adult and Teen Challenge, it's a relationship with Jesus. And when that heart changes, people change. So like we talked about the symptoms. So if somebody came in and they've struggled, but they're clean and they're realizing there's still this void or an emptiness, or they really want to seek Jesus. I mean, you can get plugged into your local church. You can talk to a pastor. If you have that discipline, that's a great avenue. But if you're like, man, I need something extreme that's going to help me walk with God so I don't go back to that lifestyle,
or
then Teen Challenge is a great option. Now, it's not for everybody.
Right.
Because 1 year is a long time.
It's a commitment.
Yeah. So if it's somebody just like they're clean and sober and they want to know more about Jesus, I would find a good local church. You know, I'd find a good local church.
Get plugged in.
I'm a part of Assemblies of God. If there's an Assemblies of God church near you, go in and talk to the pastor and say, hey, I'm just curious about Jesus. Who is Jesus? And if he's real, how do I get to know him? That's a great way to start a conversation about God. But if you know, there's, it doesn't have to be drugs and alcohol. It could be, if there's video games, like you said, if it was pornography, it could be overeating, any life controlling issue,
right?
And it's out of your control. You can't handle it. You're in a downward spiral, and it's been a really hard fight, and you know you can't do it. Then Teen Challenge is probably a great option for you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Amen. Well, we are just about out of time. We've been talking with Kyle Thompson. The website that I'd like you to visit is teenchallengeusa.com. You can click on the center locator button if you're looking for a center. You can also, if you're here in the Pacific Northwest, you can go directly to Teen Challenge PNW. That stands for Pacific Northwest.com. And you can check out all the centers in the Pacific Northwest, including the center that Kyle is at and that I volunteer at in Shedd, Oregon. Where's Shedd? Well, you just got to look in the map and find out.
It's near Albany.
It's near Albany. Yeah. It's definitely away from big city distractions. Let's put it that way. Sure. Right? Yeah. Closing thoughts, brother.
Yeah. You know, I think one thing, if you're here and you're like, man, you're listening to Recovery, you follow the 12 steps, but you are skeptical towards Jesus in a relationship with God, I want to encourage you to try it. Mm-hmm. Like before, try it. I mean, you know, and because God, he is so good. He is so faithful. I'm telling you, I couldn't make up the story that God's done in my life. I couldn't make up this testimony that God has done in me. I couldn't make up that day when he came in my life and changed me forever. I couldn't make that up.
Yeah.
And God's just, he loves you right where you're at. And maybe you've been fighting and you've been trying everything and you're, you know, you want out of your addiction or you're trying to help someone through their addiction. And why not give it a shot? Why not try?
Why not?
Why not try to see if Jesus is who he says he is? And if he is, which I absolutely know he is, then you'll be ever grateful that you made that decision.
And if it doesn't work out, we'll gladly refund your misery, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No harm.
No harm. Kyle, thank you, brother.
Yeah, you bet.
Yeah, it's been a joy. Thank you so much. We are out of time, and we do have a closing song for this episode. Now, the story behind this song is very interesting. This is by a gentleman by the name of Danny Gokey. The title of the song is Tell Your Heart to Beat Again. Do you know the story behind this?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so evidently there was a lady who had open heart surgery, and the surgeon, after he had fixed her heart, there was nothing wrong with her heart now, right? Mm. But it wouldn't start.
Wow.
And he got down on his knees at the edge of her bed and he whispered in her ear. He said, your heart is okay now. It's all better. You need to tell your heart to beat again.
Mm.
And that really is a picture of what God does in our life. He changes our heart, right? Mm-hmm. It's new. You know, you referred to, you know, the old has passed away. You know, our spiritual condition is brand new. Our heart is new. We just need to accept that and receive it and tell our heart to beat again.
Mm.
And I'll tell you, when I was coming out of my active addiction, I didn't think my heart would ever beat again, you know, and I had to step up to the plate and receive the gift that God had given to me and already laid at my feet. Right. Mm. So if that's you, listeners, and you got a broken heart, God can fix it. And then tell your heart to beat again. Here's Danny Gokey.
Like you've never been before, the life you knew, and I thought. thousand pieces on the floor. And words fall short in times like these, when this world drives you to your knees. You think you're never gonna get back to the you they used to be. Tell your heart to beat again. Close your eyes and breathe it in. Let the shadows fall away. Step into the light of grace. Yesterday is a closing door. You don't live there anymore. Say goodbye to where you've been. And tell your heart to beat again. Let that word wash over you. It's all right now. Love's healing hands have pulled you through. So get back up, take step one. Leave the darkness, feel the sun. 'Cause your story's far from over, and your journey's just begun. Tell your heart to be.
Gokey, tell your heart to beat again. A very special thank you to my guest this week, Mr. Kyle Thompson, sharing his experience, strength, and hope, what it was like, what happened, and what he's doing today in supporting the recovery community. Until our next broadcast, this is the Monty Man, and I am wishing God's perfect serenity for you.
This has been a broadcast of KHLT Recovery Broadcasting.